Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we just thank you for this day, Lord. And Lord, this is the day, Lord, that you have made just for us, Lord, just for each individual, Lord. And you have a wonderful thing planned for this day, Lord. May we hear your voice. May we see the light shine on those people that you want us to touch, Lord. And Lord, thank you that you want to touch our hearts this morning, Lord. Yes. We ask that, Lord, through our worship and praise, Lord, that we would bring glory to you, Lord. This is what it's all about, Lord. If it's not about you, we don't want to be here. Yes. So we thank you in Jesus' name, and now we can go into worship. Amen.
And amen. It's a song we introduced last week. It's talking about moving forward with the clean heart. How, you know, when we come to the Lord, He takes our entire body and cleans it and makes it a new thing.
Come on.
We are a new creation. There's nothing is the same as it used to be. And we are told to speak the things that are not as if they were. The word says that. We're talking about moving mountains, my friends. We're talking about moving all of the challenges in your life. All we need to do is ask. But it says, declare the works of God before man. The works of God are in you. That's what we're doing here. We're moving forward, making sure the Lord knows that we are first, or you are first in our lives. Amen.
So anyways, I have a praise report. Shirley slept 11 hours without pain last night. So, as Steve said, we're supposed to declare the works of the Lord and speak His word. And it's really hard when you see someone in pain, you know, 24/7, in agony pain, and trust in Him. And we've been speaking His word over her life, and she's been praising God. And in fact, I mean, I'm amazed at how she did that. And so it's just really important that we speak God's word, because it will not return void. Amen. And I believe that we can shed off all our aches and pains if we just start speaking that and believing it. So faith is not believing what you see. Faith is believing what you pray for, what you don't see, and it comes to pass. So, but we have to stand. It's so easy to turn back, like that song said. Don't turn back and trust what you see when it's a lie from Satan. So, anyways, praise report.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. But let's pray. Could I get you to stand just for a second? Father, we honor you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we honor you. Holy Spirit, we honor you. How great you are, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, this morning for all that you're doing in our lives. We know, Father, that you hear us, you see us, you know everything about us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are in your kingdom, that you have chosen us out of the world and into your kingdom, Father. Father, we ask you, Lord, that you speak to our hearts even more this morning. We know that you've been speaking. We know that you've been touching hearts already, Father. But God, we ask, Lord, that you would just minister to us. As we minister to you, Father, we ask you to minister to us. We thank you for it. Father, I pray that you just help me to speak what you gave me to speak, Father. I thank you for your word in Jesus' name. You agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Have a seat. Glory to God. Everybody's probably wondering, what's with the, does anybody belong to this? I found it on the side of the road, and I thought somebody might need it in here. Hallelujah. I got a mag. Is anybody missing a mag on their vehicle? Hallelujah. This was given to me, but because I was talking about a vision that God had given me. And in that vision, It actually looked like a five-spoke wagon wheel, more or less, but this works good to help illustrate. God has asked me to walk and pray around this area, so I walk and pray around this area, and as I was walking, the Lord said something to me, Henry, the church here is a hub, and I really didn't really understand what he might have been saying to me, because I'm a mechanic by trade. I'm real mechanically minded more than anything else. And I was set up to about 6 years ago. I was more that than pastorally minded, but now God's changed that. How many say, man? Yeah. Well, anyway, I was walking and he said, you're the hub, and the center of the wheel is the hub. How you guys all know that. Most of everybody knows that. The center of the wheel is the hub. And I didn't understand what he was saying. And then he said to me, I will send. And I said, God, you got to get a little more clearer than that, because I'm not sure. How many of you guys are just kind of not clear on that either? Man, everybody can look at me. What is that? Well, anyway, I said, Lord, you know, I'm not clear on that either. But anyway, so, I mean, I know what he said to me. And I prayed. I was walking around. And that year I had gone to Indiana. But when my flight was scheduled, I had to go from here to Phoenix, and then from Phoenix to Atlanta. I was going to up to Indiana, and so I end up in Atlanta, and then flying up into Chicago O'Hare, and then from Chicago O'Hare I had to fly over into South Bend, Indiana, and that's where I was headed. Kind of a long way around. How do you say amen to that? And I'm cool, because I'm not paying for any of it. My company's paying for it. So you guys, I mean, not. You get that? Yeah. Yes. Fly me to Japan if you want. I don't care. Yeah, whatever. But so as we were coming into Atlanta, just before the stewardess got on the intercom, I felt the presence of God in the plane. And I don't know. That can be kind of a weird thing, because all of a sudden you start thinking, what's going on? God, hey, do I need to stand up and start preaching? Because I got this anointing on me, and I'm not sure what it's about. Is a plane going to crash? Whatever, man. I don't think. I said, God, you wouldn't be sending me over here. You just opened a church. No, but anyway, I was, as I was thinking about that, the lady, the stewardess, come on the intercom. She goes, we're now entering Atlanta. She said, Atlanta International Hub Airport. And when I heard hub, I felt, oh. And the Lord reminded me, well, I will send. And I began to understand what God was talking about, this church being a hub, if you will, for God to send people and to send them out again. Is that okay? How many say amen to that? He'll send you in, and then you'll learn something, pick something up. Some of you might, this will be the last time you come in here today. And he's going to send you out, but he's going to send you out with a message. He's going to send you out to do something. I didn't realize the whole part of it. But I do remember in the vision that he gave me, that the wheel was seen broken. It had five spokes. And those five spokes, what God has shown me, are the fivefold ministry. You got apostles, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and prophets. Those are the five spokes of this wheel. And I'm going to talk about it in today's meeting. But the wheel was broken. What it didn't have was a rim. And if anybody knows, if you drive on a wheel that's flat on one side, what happens? It stops. Is that right? It stops. And so I mean, you can't go too much further. I know I've seen some ladies driving on top flat tires. Maybe I've never seen the guy do it, but maybe it could be. I'm going to protect myself. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but hey, this rim actually wasn't complete on that wheel, and I didn't realize what it was. I didn't realize the significance of what he was showing me. But we're going to talk about a little bit about that today. He did tell me, he said, Henry, when we first started the church, one of the things he told me is, this is, Henry, put the collection box, do not pass the plate, put the collection box in the back. So if anybody's wondering, or you folks that are new, if you feel like giving, I'm not asking you, if it's on your heart to give, there's a box in the back. You can just fill out an envelope and you can drop it in there. God will bless you. He will bless everything that you do. But But he said, put the box in the back. That was one thing. The other thing he told me, he said, whatever you do, Henry, never corral my people. And I got that. I really did, because I was in a church before where I felt like I couldn't leave. I mean, anybody ever felt like that? You felt like you just couldn't leave. And if God wanted you to leave, you had a lot of things to get through just to leave. Is that okay? Well, that's not the way it is here. If you sense that God is asking you to go somewhere else, as long as God is asking you, I'm all for it. If he's not telling you anything, I'm not so much for it. But hey, I will not stop you. Is that okay? I will not corral you. But if I know that God is saying, hey, I want to use them over here or over there, I'm all for that. I am for the body of Christ being positioned in the place where they'll be. I mean, say amen.
Amen.
Do you get that? We're in a different world, Father. We're in a different world. We really are. We are in a place. The church is changing. I believe it's changing every day. I believe that God is speaking to the individual people, that the saints of God in the houses, as much as he's talking to maybe a pastor or a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher, and one more apostle. I'm going to use an example because I just want to say the key to the kingdom of God today is the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? How many know that?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit has to be in it or it in it. There's nothing in it. Can I say that to you? The Holy Spirit has to be there. It's God in the Spirit leading his people. Some of you can be any parts of that spoke. Do you understand? Maybe not, but let me just say this to you very quietly. I'm gonna say the apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, all those positions, those people better be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? You don't just pick a profession like this and say, that's me. I'm a teacher. Everybody run to me. No, you don't do that. I'm a pastor. Everybody come over here. No, you don't do that. God sets up his people according to his will, and these positions are filled. A lot of you have already been in these positions. How many say amen? Do you know that? A lot of you have been in this position. You've gone to your neighbor's house, and you've helped them, and folks, that's a pastor. Pastor John here. He started churches. Isn't that right? That's an apostle. Apostle is the one that goes out and starts new work. Is that right?
Yes. Two times.
Yeah. Apostle twice. Hey. Teachers. I mean, a teacher. I mean, listen, you could step into the teaching thing just at Safeway. Somebody asks you, hey, well, what about this scripture? Nothing on this. And you just begin, God used you as a teacher. And you can step into these positions at any time. Do you understand? An evangelist. Hey, bro, come here, man. Hey, you know that Jesus loves you, man. Then that he gave his life for you. And you haven't lived till you found out what God has for you. Do you know that? And you're an evangelist. Amen? Hallelujah. Folks, the Holy Ghost is the one that does it all. We forever, it seems to me, as long as I've been, you might look at me and say, yeah, he's been around forever. But for as long as I've known, we've always held these positions up. Hey, we're to honor people in these positions. And a lot of times when you're doing that kind of work, I need to honor you because you're doing the position of a pastor or whatever. Is that okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because we need to operate in the way that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what the body has to do. It's a very, very different way of operating as far as the body of Christ. But I'll tell you today, the world needs it like it never has before. Can you say amen to that? So I'm gonna take you to Ephesians chapter 4. I really get this message. Kind of being a pastor and knowing that God he can use all of you as pastors. He can use all of you as evangelists. I mean, I really get this message. I hope you get what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today because it's very important. Ephesians chapter 4, preface. You guys know what preface is, right? How do you spell preface? It's actually preface, right? I'm going to preface this thing right now here in a minute, okay? I'm going to preface this with what Paul was talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. So if you would, could you just shut this off just for a minute? I'm going to read Ephesians, just part of Ephesians chapter 3, so you can hear what Paul was building up to. So if we can turn these, just kind of click to a dead spot if you can, and I'll start. Because the reason I asked for that because is that, can you turn it off? Oh, they're off. Okay, good. Yeah, because the reason I asked for that is because I know you folks. You'll be reading along, and I'll be reading something else. They go, hey, where is he? He's in the wrong place again. That pastor, he can't stay in the right spot. Okay, but you know what? So I'm gonna preface this. I'm gonna preface this thing, and it's gonna start with where Paul's saying in chapter 3, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, all of you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in your inner man. How many say amen to that? You want to be strengthened by the Holy Ghost inside of you. Amen? Hallelujah. Because what he strengthens inside of you, can I tell you, we're built that what goes inside will come out. Amen? You talk trash, you're going to get trash. Thank you. Come on, man. Strengthened in the inner man with the things that the Holy Spirit says to you, okay? So, and then he says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, okay? May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. I don't know if we'll ever be able to comprehend that. How wide, how deep, how high. The love of Christ is for us. Can you imagine that? Oh, I don't know, but it's something that he says he wants you to be able to comprehend. Isn't that cool? He says, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the apostle speaking to the churches, speaking to the Ephesus church, but he's also speaking to us today. He says, that you be filled with all the fullness of God. That seems like an impossibility, isn't that right? Seems, oh no, not me. But God, by the Holy Spirit, guess what? The fullness of God is within you. So I'm gonna move on from that. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations, this generation, to all generations forever and ever. If you say amen. Because Paul ends that part with amen. And now we're going to go into Ephesians 4. And I want you to look at some things and what he's saying. He says, therefore, Paul says, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you are called. Paul is automatically assuming that you are being led by the Spirit into the calling that he has for you. And that's important to you. Can you say amen? Every one of us has been built and designed with a purpose for that God has preordained within you from the foundation of the world. He knows what he placed in you. And all it takes for you to do is just say, God, you just got to let me know what you want. Show me who you are and what you're doing. Let me know. Just tell me, Lord. How many say that? Amen to that. Amen. How many say, Lord, just tell me? One. I'm asking a question. Are you guys asleep already? Come on, man. 3, 4, 5. I mean, I say, Lord, just tell me. I said that, and I ended up here. I said, Lord, is this a joke? No. I said, Lord, I'll do anything you tell me. The thing was, I'm filled with the Spirit. Do you guys know what that means? I pray in the Spirit. And because I pray in the Spirit, I pray according to the will of God. I don't need to know what I'm praying. God prays through me. Amen. So when I found out I was going to be a pastor here, my wife already knew, but I didn't know. Does that ever happen to you? I didn't know. She told me, and I said, no, you're crazy. Not me. So one day I told the congregation, I said, I never prayed for this job. You got to be crazy if you want to be a pastor. Can I say that to you? You got to be crazy. Isn't that right, Pastor John? And it looks to me like you're crazy. I'm crazy. Yeah. And I said, I never prayed for that. I just told the Lord, I will do whatever you want, God. Just tell me what you want. And that day on the way home, he spoke to my heart and said, oh, you prayed for this. You just didn't know you were praying for it. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost prays according to the will of God. I would suggest to every one of you, hey, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost to where you can pray in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, ask the Lord for it so that you can pray according to the will, so that he can open up his will to you, what he has for you. Right? You know what? I tell you, folks, people are, you know, the title of the message today is called A Place for Everyone and Everyone in Their Place. And I got that from the mine because they used to be on us all the time about, hey, keeping things neat. How many like things neat? Yeah, not everybody, okay. And but what we got here is a bunch of messy people. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I like keeping things neat. And they have signs all over. It says, a place for everything and everything in its place. And there's a reason for that. John, do you remember seeing that sign? There's a reason for it. Because how many of you know it takes time to find your tools if they're out of place. Is that right? If there's anything I do not like is looking for tools that I know I have that should be somewhere and they're not there. And it just drives me crazy because most of the time, who's at fault? I left it somewhere, but who knows where? See, God's speeding up time in the church. Can you hear me for this? God is speeding up the time. He says, the body of Christ, people need to find out what their place is. Because it's time that the glory of God be seen in the earth through the believers. Can you say amen to that? How many of you are a believer? How many say, I'm a believer? Remember the monkeys? I'm a believer. I want him. It's like, yeah, how many of you are believers, man? Raise your hand, both hands, if you're a believer, man. Say, God, show God you're a believer. Hey, God, I will believe you. I believe you, God. God, I'll do anything for you. Hallelujah. So here's Paul. Here's chapter 4. I don't even remember if I started. And he says, starting at verse 1, it says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing one another in love. Is that okay? Bearing one another in love. Good, folks, the biggest thing about the kingdom of God, the Spirit of God that comes to dwell in you, he changes your love into his love. Is that okay? He fills you with his love by the Spirit of God. Those people that you used to hate, you know, you don't say that in church, do you? But you really didn't like them. How many has ever had somebody like that? If I could, I would walk away. Has anybody ever been like, just Aaron? Yeah, okay. Praise God for the rest of you. If I could, I'd walk away. Well, you know what? And then God comes into your heart by his Spirit and begins to replace your love or your hate with his love. And it makes it easy to hate those. I'm sorry. Makes it easy to love those. Amen. That God is telling you to love. Is that okay? Hallelujah. It's not easy to hate somebody. Man. And that's the truth. Do you know that? It's really not easy to hate anybody because it goes against your grain. It's like petting a cat backwards. You're designed to love people. Do you know that? You're designed to love on people. You're not designed to hurt them and fight back and with your mouth. You're not designed for that. You're actually going against the kingdom of God because the kingdom of God always strengthens and builds. And you're going against the grain with the whole kingdom. And so when you speak things like that, hallelujah, you're going against who you are. Oh, man, I don't even know how I got to that, but we're in that, man. Amen. The Holy Spirit, folks, is talking today. Amen. He's ministering. He's saying some things to you. Daring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on. One? Amen?
Yep.
Folks, if there's anything I know, Jesus is trying to get us to be one. Is that okay? All right? One. All right? One God, one Father of all who is above all. Next verse. And through all and in y'all. Texas style. And in y'all. Let me just say this to you. There might be somebody in the house that really don't give, I really don't believe in the things about God. I really, I it's a crutch. Or I don't know what you say. I got no idea. But I will tell you something. Every person on this planet is designed for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom, the king, designed them at the beginning. So the king says, hey, you're all. And that's why he says you're in. He's in all and through all. Isn't that crazy? You're really designed for the kingdom. Everybody is. Even those people out there, they call on the devil. I said, what are you doing? That's silly. They are kingdom built. That's why I was talking to a young lady the other day, and she was saying that she thinks she believes in God. She had kind of pushed God away, and she thinks she believes in God. She goes, why? Her child was choking. And she goes, I'm a nurse, and I forgot everything. I mean, you know, in the moment, you can do that. Is that right? You can just forget everything. And she says, so she's got her best friend that's trying to help her little girl. And she said her first two words are, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. But they changed immediately to, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the little baby coughed it up. And she said, I realized that I called on God. See, deep within you, you're going to call on God. How many of you heard people going off the road and say, oh, God. I thought you don't believe in God. Who are you calling on? Who are you talking to? Didn't you say you're an atheist? Why are you talking to God? Come on. It's built in. Do you know that? He's in all and through you all. Come on, man. That's what he says right here. Through you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God, of Christ. I will tell you, this is grace upon grace, because Jesus, the Spirit of God, is the Spirit of grace. Amen. By grace you are saved. That's what the scripture says. How many remember that? By grace you're saved. Well, what is that? What's it talking about? It's talking about unmerited favor. Yeah, it can be. But actually, when you didn't know the Lord, but things were touching your heart, it was the Holy Spirit pulling you in. He's drawing you into Him. Is that okay? You are saved by grace. So here we got a double measure of the Holy Spirit. He says, every one of us is given grace, let's call it the Holy Spirit, according to the measure of the gift. Whatever He desires to measure out, that's what's going to happen. Okay? Is that right? Wherefore, He says, I'm going to stop right there, because I'm going to just say, God is not into making you or making all of us like a bunch of silly robots. Is that right? We're not robots. Every one of us have a different story. Is that okay? You've gone through things differently. You've experienced things differently. Not one of us. I don't know all the things you've gone through, and you don't know everything I've gone through, except that I've exposed most of it. I don't know what else to do. But so we're not talking about losing your identity, but God using your identity with the Holy Spirit that dwells in you. Is that okay? Can you hear that? He wants to change you into what He created you personally for. It's a beautiful thing. His Spirit merges with your spirit, and all the things that you remember, all your loves, your desires. You know, when I got saved, God didn't make me a saxophone player because I love playing saxophone. He made me a pastor with a guitar. And not a very good guitar either. Isn't that? Where's Brother Steve? I mean, I'm working on it, man. But his Spirit comes within you and works with you personally in the giftings He's given you. I mean, everything is packaged already within you. The scriptures tell us that all things have been given to you that pertain to life and godliness. Everything's already within you. Accessing that thing is the question. And how do you access it? By the Holy Spirit. Plain and simple. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's how you access these things. So then it says, well, let me just read a scripture because I had a scripture there for you. I wanted to, it's Ephesians chapter 2. I'm not sure, can you put that up? I should be looking at my notes because it seems like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I think it is. For we are his workmanship, right? Here it is. And it's creating Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, you're his workmanship. He knows everything that's gone on. He knows your likes, your dislikes. And like I said last week, it's not about choices. It's about the will of God. I like yellow Dodge trucks. You like blue Dodge trucks. I like hamburgers and tacos. I mean, those are my choices. I will not order chicken because it doesn't like me. Those are my choices. No pollo locos or whatever. Those crazy chickens. He does not take away your identity and kill it and make you something else, make you like pastor this or make you like some evangelist you watched on TV. No, that's not his intent. His intent is to you and you alone with his spirit bringing the glory of God in the earth. Is that cool? That's who you are. That's cool. All right. So I think we're on verse 8 of chapter 4 or 7 of chapter 4. Okay. Yeah. But unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We just said, as a wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Yeah. These next few verses, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. What he just got through saying was a scripture from the Old Testament. And Liz, can you put up that Psalm 70, what? Psalm 68:13. He's just got through quoting a scripture from the Old Testament. I want you to see it. Thou hast ascended on high. This is before Jesus even came. He says, you have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men. Yea, for the Lord, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Aren't you glad that the Lord wants to dwell in the rebellious? Yeah, come on, man. Aren't you glad, man? Because how many of you are rebellious? Come on, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah, who wasn't rebellious? Who's still rebellious? No, I won't ask you that. But I know, you know, aren't you glad that he says, I want to dwell with those that were rebellious. Aren't you? Isn't that cool? God loves people. He loves folks. And he goes to the apostle, quotes his scripture, and he says that he has ascended on high. And then when you go back to the scripture, if you go back to verse 8, you're going to find that there's some parentheses in there. How many know what parentheses are? They're added thoughts, right? Yep. Just added thoughts to the words. It says he gave gifts unto men, then parenthesis. Everybody say parenthesis. 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 I thought I heard somebody say, let me see. No, must be my ears. Okay, parenthesis. It says, now here's what he's saying. Now he that ascended, what is it? He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Okay? I mean, what was that all about? The apostle is explaining that he that ascended, he says, look, before he ascended, he also had to descend. He came from heaven. How many saying he was sent? So he descended first. And not only did he just walk on the ground, the scripture says when he died, he went even further into the lower parts of the earth. Can you say amen? Woo-wee. Oh, man, we're getting into some nice stuff here, man. Because what did he do when he went to that lower parts? 3 days, he paid for the sins of every person on this planet. I'm going to throw up Hebrews chapter 2. Can you put that up? I know it's a lot of going back and forth. You should be taking notes, but that's okay. This is what it says in Hebrew. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for who? For every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things. Here it is again. He's in all, he's through all, and by him who are all things, for whom are all things, by him who are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. If there's anything that Jesus hadn't done, if there's anything that he hadn't experienced, it was dying for our sins. Where God, his Father, took his hand off of him when he died for our sins. Isn't that cool? Bible says, and then he led captivity captive. Is that right? Is that what we read? You know, there was people that had died that loved God. They didn't go to hell, if you will. They went into a holding place. Jesus called it Abraham's bosom. And in Abraham's bosom, they were there and waiting for the promise. That's all they were doing. Jesus describes it that the man in hell says, hey, man, send somebody over here with a drop of water so he can touch my tongue. And then Abraham says, nah, he can't go, man. There's a big gulf between us. I believe this is where the Catholic Church gets purgatory from. But Jesus, on his way out on the third day, God's getting ready by the Spirit to raise him from the dead. He goes through this cavern where all these folks are at. And he says, come on, man, let's go. It's paid. The deal is paid. I paid it. And it says he led captive. Come on, let's get out of here. Hallelujah. We can get on in. Come on, y'all. Well, I believe Abraham was, yeah, come on, let's go. Come on. All the folks just said, out of here. Death was kicked in the face. Come on. Amen. Smashed. You're going to bruise his
heel.
In the smashing, he smashed him so hard, he bruised his heel. Jesus smashed his head. The enemy's got nothing on you. Amen. Nothing on you. You are in the kingdom. You have a shield on you because you're in the kingdom. He is your great, your exceeding great reward is what God is. He's on your side. He loves you dearly. Amen. Woo, come on. That's where he says, he's talking, he brought these men out. But then it says, and then he gave gifts to the men. To those that were on there, he began to give gifts. And we're going to go back to Ephesians and hit that. Glory to God. What time is it? Ay, ay, ay. Okay. Ay, ay. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What are they for? They're for the perfecting of the saints and building up. What are you for? If the Holy Spirit's in you, you're for the perfecting of the saints and the building up of the body of Christ. Can I say this? Let me just tell you, we are not building the kingdom. I mean, you might look at me and say, wait a minute. If somebody gets saved, look, we're not building the kingdom. The kingdom is one of those absolutes, like 2 + 2. Is that right? 2 + 2 = 6, right? Everybody going, I had to go, yeah. 2 + 2 = 4? Is that an absolute? It is. It's an absolute. 1 + 1 = 2. Well, the kingdom is an absolute. And it's been forever, when God... I mean, even before he created all this, even before Satan, it was that the kingdom of God is an absolute. So we're not building the kingdom. The kingdom's already built. He don't need you. I remember he said, hey, we're going to go out and build a kingdom. Okay, cool, man. Let's do it. See, there's a lack of understanding of what's going on, of who God is and what he's saying to the earth. And I really believe these things are opening wide for anybody that will believe, for them to walk in and see these things, say, hey, man, this is what's happening. Folks, I told the folks this morning, it's like a volcano. There's a volcanic action going on in the earth. And it's getting ready to... How many of you know a lot of times a volcano, before it blows, it'll give a little poof. And it'll give another little poof. A little poof. Well, folks, we are poofs. God's poofing us. Isn't that weird? Yeah. I'm serious. I mean, there is an action going on. The body of Christ, the church, is about to be exposed in a way she's never been before. People have laughed at us and thought, you know, you guys are just a bunch of silly ones, you know, whatever. Not knowing really that the kingdom of God is in control. The scriptures tell us in Psalm 103 that the kingdom of God rules over everything. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Woo, come on, man. And he gives us these gifts so that we can minister and build up the body of Christ. It's cool. Building them up. For what? What are you building them for? Let's read on. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Is that okay? Till we all come in the unity of faith. See, the Holy Spirit's not divided. He's not Baptist. He's not Catholic. He's not any of that. None of the man-made religions, that's just all they are. They're man-made religions. He's not Hindu. He is the Spirit of God. And he's one with his Father and with the Son. How many say amen to that? Amen. And he's calling the body of Christ to become one with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man in the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ooh, can you say that's a nice place to be? How many like that? To be like Christ. See, he not only is Jesus the Son of God and the example of the King, he is the kingdom. He is the kingdom. Jesus is the unchanging person of the kingdom. And this kingdom doesn't shake, doesn't rattle and roll. How many say amen? There's no shake, rattle, and roll in this kingdom. Uh-uh. Its pillars, its foundation is sure and it's steadfast. And anything you put your trust in this kingdom, you placed it in a good bank. Amen? It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, what in my vision, what I saw was a wheel where the rim was not complete. That rim needs to be completed. It was spokes with a part of the rim. But the rim represents the unity of the Spirit all over the world. Isn't that cool? It's a beautiful thing. God's bringing this. And you're part of it. Is that okay? I'm going to say that to you again. God's bringing it. You're part of it. Hallelujah. Till we all come. In the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we from now on. I say like from now on. But henceforth. Be no more what? Wah. Wah. I hear that. Come on, man. Wah, wah, wah. I didn't get my way. Wah, wah, wah. Come on, man. How many want your way? I was down at Rigoberto's. I was telling him about my Rigoberto's thing. I was at Rigoberto's one time, and I said, I want a beef chorizo burrito. And the lady on the other side, she goes, okay. So they bring out the burritos, and I would go and sit down at the table with my wife, and I bite into this thing, and it's not a beef chorizo burrito. It is a beef burro. And from later on, I found out that they don't have beef chorizo. They just have pork chorizo. So I bit it, and I go, she didn't hear me. So I got up, and I went over there to him. I said, ma'am? She goes, yes. I go, I ordered a beef chorizo burro. She looked at me. She goes, no, you ordered a beef burro. And I said, no, I ordered a beef chorizo burro. And I'm not kidding you. This lady on the other side of the counter, she grew like 5 feet up, 4 feet wide. No, you ordered a beef burrito. Yeah, you're right. I went back down and I sat down and I'm eating that thing and I'm slamming it down. And the Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, now you don't get everything you want, now do you? I said, oh boy. Yeah, okay, Lord. I want my chorizo burro. I was crying. How many of you wah-wahs? Anybody wah-wahs? Hey, folks, when we don't get our way, you'd be surprised how big of a wah-wah you are. Is that right? Yeah. And folks all around you know, she's a wah-wah. He's a wah-wah. You know, whatever, Matt. You know, till we be no more children, God is saying. Know that you're in his kingdom and he's got you and he's going to take care of you, period. Just know that. Trust him. How many of you are believers? Are you a believer? Well, believe him. Amen? Hallelujah. Believe him. We'll give you a scripture for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11 says this. And then we'll come back to this, okay, Liz? Putting our lady to work. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm going to speak to you a little bit, because I will tell you this, that God is really knocking on your door this morning. Can I say that to you? You know, and behold, God, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Open the door, man. Let me in. Just let me in. Okay. And I will tell you, if you let him in, it's a great thing. I'm going to say something to you, and this is what the Lord said to me. And I'm going to say it to you because it's something that I do see. I do see that people are putting a lot of trust in online preaching and online. I will tell you, be careful with that. God is saying right now that the time is for you to put down all, you know, it's time to be a man. To you ladies, to be a woman of God. Amen? Put down those things and get into the Word of God and find out what God is saying to you personally. There's too many people out there saying all these different things. And you're so caught up in listening to them, which they're probably good things. I'm not saying nothing bad about them. But what I'm saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, they're not listening to me. They're listening to everybody but me. And they're calling it Christianity. They're calling it the kingdom. Folks, the kingdom is erupting. It really is. So get in your closet. Get in your wherever you pray. Take your Bible with you and find out. Say, hey, don't listen to me. I'm nobody. I'm just a man. I can fail just like anybody else. Your trust, everything you have to be independently dependent upon him. That's it. I depend on my God. And my God will position me in the place that he needs me to be. And my God will tell me what I need to do. And Lord, what do you want me to do? Go after him. He wants you to go after him like you've never gone after him before. Because this kingdom is erupting, folks. It is. I don't know how it's going to look in America, but it's going to look the same as it does in Europe. It's going to, because it's the same Lord of the Spirit of God that is erupting the kingdom in the earth today. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Here's the end of this. He says, when I was a child, go back to chapter. Yeah, to chapter 4. Paul says this. So we all come in the unity of the faith. And then he says, henceforth, we be no more children. And the next verse says, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And that's what we just got through talking about. Folks, I will tell you, the internet, if you do 90% of your time, cut it 30%. I just sense the Holy Spirit saying, be careful, be careful. He wants to speak to you personally. Carried about with winds of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I looked up that word sleight. Do you know what the word sleight means? The word is, I got kind of a kick out of it, or slate, I don't know how you say it, slate or sleight, by the sleight of men, okay? And so I looked it up in the Greek, the word is kubia. Kubia means cube. And it's talking about dice. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I gotta go visit my grandmother. My cube says he wants me to go to the bar. whatever. That's the sleight of men. It's a gamble on what you're taking. God doesn't want you taking a gamble. He says, I will tell you what you need to do. You don't need a pastor, an evangelist. You don't need them to tell you what to do. You belong to him. So he will lead you and guide you in everything you need to do. Don't worry about it. Who cares what people think? Is that right? Can I say that to you? If you're following the Lord and what he has for you, who cares? Is that right? I had to figure that out here. A lot of folks tell me a lot of stuff. And the Lord said to me, what do you care? Oh, well, I'm supposed to be. Come on. If I'm following the Lord, that's what I need to be doing. Amen. If God's giving me a message, that's what I get. I got to give it to you. And I got to get ready because I know you guys are saying, hey, we got to go. Hallelujah. The ball game's coming on any minute now. Is that right? Is that right? Come on, man. Go Eagles. I don't even know who they are. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to read John chapter 17, verse 22. Can you put that up? John 17, 22. God wants us to grow up in all things. All things, grow up. How many know it's time for the body of Christ to grow up? It's not your will be done, it's his will be done. Is that right? Come on, that's all God's saying. If you just obey my will, you'll find it's the best thing your life has ever done. Hallelujah. Here it is. In the glory which thou gave me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. Do you see that glory that he gave us? That's the Holy Ghost. He gave the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and teach us into everything that he has for us. Is that okay? All right. Go back to, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. I want to read these two. 15 and 16, if you will. I'm making her work back there. Yeah, it's a man. She goes, oh my gosh, it wasn't this hard the last time. 15 and 16. Nah, there we go. Here's 15. But speaking the truth in love. Can you say amen to that? Amen. How many of you say right now, go, uh-oh. Probably didn't say what I should have said right. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I didn't hear a lot of love coming out of their mouth. But speaking the truth in love, amen, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, listen to this, the whole body, fitly joined together. Together, is that right? Are we supposed to be together? Yep. And compacted by that which every joint supplies. Every one of you are going to supply something. I need every one of you. My wife needs every one of you. My children need every one of you. Is that right, Leroy?
Oh, yeah.
Is that? Come on. We need each other. Can you, everybody say, look at your neighbor and say, hey, we need each other. Yeah, look on the other side and say, we need each other. Yeah, I say, you might not believe it. You might not like it, but we need each other. Hey, be nice. Be in love with each other. Or is that? It says, fitly joined together and compact by which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. See, every one of us have an effectual working in this body. Don't ever discount. Don't let anybody ever tell you anything different. You're part of the body of Christ, and there's an important part that you have in it. And it's best you find out what it is if you don't. And I said, which makes increase of the body into edifying itself in love. And I just want to read this in the TPT because it makes it a little easier. How many of you like the King James? None of you? Okay, I love the King James. Yeah. But here's this scripture, verse 16 in the TPT. He says, for his body, listen to this, has been formed in his image and is closely joined together and constantly connected as one. Do you hear that? This is what this is. We are one. And then it says, and every member has been given divine gifts to contribute to the growth of all.
Amen.
Do you get this? Are you getting it? And as these gifts operate effectively throughout the whole body, we are built up and made in what? Perfect love. That's God's love.
Yes.
Folks, it's time. It's time that the body position itself where it's supposed to be. Every one of you are important. None of you are excluded. Amen?
Amen.
everybody, a place for everyone, and everyone in his place. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Brother Abe, my closer. And we still have a half an hour before the game starts. No, I'm just kidding.
praise God. I got half an hour? Is that what you're saying?
praise
God. Oh, man. You know, this is another one of those things that's kind of dangerous to give me a microphone after talking about gifts. Because, serving is so important, and I talk about it all the time. I did talk about it last week, too, where, I said I'm not that guy of all the things that God's asked me to do. But what was important is before all that is that God had actually changed my heart. Because, you see, it's not so much... The most important thing isn't how he equips us, because it's important, but it's making us love the things of God like God loves them. To change our heart to do that. And, really it is something that we should all be doing together with each other. And as Pastor was saying, is like, we're not robots, because he did prepare stuff in advance for us to do. But you know what? God made us. He knows exactly who we are and what would make us have joy in our life, what would give us peace. And it's just a matter of us finding that. We're all individuals. We're all different. And we have to honor that. We shouldn't pattern ourselves by who, we see on the internet, we see on TV. It's like we are ourselves. I mean, there's been people up here that I've seen preaching, and I was like, I wish I could energize people like that. And it's like, but, that's not me. That's not how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be me because God created me that way, and I'm going to honor what he has created. And each and every one of you should do that with yourselves and understand you are made that way on purpose. Okay? He made you that way. He loves you that way. So, if you would you stand with me? Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you have your Holy Spirit strengthen us. Let us listen to him. Let us seek out his wisdom. Lord, let our words be filled with love. Let us encourage and build up others. Let us be about your business, Lord. And God, I just ask that you help us to be unified, to be one as you called us to be. And the world will know that because of that, you are God. You are real. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.